The French doors leading to the balcony were 10 paces away, and he'd covered 3/4 of that distance before anyone knew he was moving. Max instinctively shifted a foot to the right to block the second gunman's aim, while Kovac continued to gloat over the collapsing shrink. Eddie hit the doors at a full run, hunching his shoulders at the last second as he burst through the delicate wood mullions and antique panes of bevel-cut glass. Shards ripped at his skin as a bullet whizzed by, striking the building opposite in a puff of brick dust. He barely slowed as he reached the railing. Using just his legs, he vaulted over it and twisted around in midair so that he was facing the building as he started to fall. He grabbed 2 of the countless wrought iron spindles, his hands slick enough with sweat to allow him to slide down smoothly, while 70 feet of nothingness separated him from the traffic crawling below. His hand smashed into the concrete deck just as the tips of his toes touched the 5th-floor balcony railing. Without a moment's hesitation, he let go and stepped back, falling all over again in a headlong plunge toward the sidewalk. As the 5th-floor balcony whipped by his face, he reached out and clutched 2 of the wrought iron bars again, slowing himself just enough so that he was in constant control of his descent. It was an awesome display of strength, balance, and a total lack of fear. He was teetering on the 4th-floor railing, centering himself for the next plummet by the time Kovac reached the suite's balcony. At first, expecting to see Eddie's corpse sprawled on the asphalt, Kovac didn't spot Sung until he stepped back from the baluster below. The Serb opened fire, raining down a storm of bullets. Eddie felt the shots ripple the air around him as he slid down the spindles. His hands slammed into the concrete. No matter how he stretched his body, he couldn't quite reach the next balcony down. His wrists were screaming with the strain, so he let go, falling just an inch before he found purchase. He windmilled his arms for a second before dropping again. If his hands weren't broken by the time he reached street level, he'd consider it a miracle. Kovac couldn't get an angle, and rather than risk being spotted by passersby who were starting to gawk at Eddie's insane stunt, Kovac holstered his pistol and stepped back into the suite. For a moment, Eddie considered leaping onto the balcony and entering the 3rd-floor room, but he had no idea how many men Kovac had covering the building. His best chance was to get away as quickly and cleanly as he could and regroup later. He stepped back again, smearing skin off his now dry palms as he slid down the spindles. The 2nd-floor balcony was a story and a half above the pavement to allow for a high ceiling in the hotel's lobby. The drop was nearly 20 feet. Just off to Eddie's left was a bright yellow canopy arching out over the sidewalk to protect the entrance from the elements. Like a tightrope walker, he padded across the top of the railing and dove for the canopy, torquing his body so his back slammed into the stiffened fabric. Sliding down its curved face, he was able to reach between his legs and grab onto the underlying metal frame. He somersaulted over the edge, holding on as tightly as his damaged hands would allow, and dangled for a second before nimbly dropping to the ground. A few in the gathered crowd cheered, not understanding what was happening. Eddie started running down the sidewalk, disappearing into the crowds as best he could. A 1/4 hour later, he bought a prepaid disposable cell phone from a tobacco stand. Eddie walked into a crowded bar, ordered a beer from the girl behind the counter, and dialed his hotel. The staff was still buzzing about the man who'd climbed down the balconies, so it took him a few minutes to explain that gunmen had broken into his room. The reception desk staffer promised to call the polizia. Eddie gave him his cell number. 15 minutes later, Eddie's beer gone, his phone chirped. "Mr. Kwan?" That was the alias they'd used to book the suite.
"Yes?"
"Our desk manager entered your room with the police. There was a man in your suite named Jenner with a cut to the head," the clerk said apologetically. "They would like you to return here to get your information, a statement, I think you call it. They have many questions about what took place and about an incident that happened nearby.
Of course, I'll be happy to cooperate with the authorities. I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Kwan.
Thank you.
Eddie dialed another number. When it was answered, he said without preamble, Tiny, file a flight plan out of the country. I'll be there as quickly as I can. He didn't wait for the pilot's reply before cutting the connection and dialing again. As he listened to the ringing over the line, he knew that there was no way Kovac would remain in the city, or in Italy for that matter, so there was no reason for him to wait around for the police to pick him up.
Hello? German, it's Eddie. Kovac has kidnapped Max.
A heartbeat passed before Juan responded.
What about his son, Kyle? I think the little punk was in on it. Hold on one second, Cabrillo said, getting his mind around the situation.